Hi everyone, my name is Mike and you're listening to The Vulnerability Project. My mission is to get men talking. The power of vulnerability is not to be underestimated. When done in the right environment with the right people, talking about what's getting you down and what you're battling can potentially be life-changing. I've experienced the power that vulnerability holds firsthand. My aim is to encourage you to tap into your vulnerability and find that safe space that allows you to feel heard. I believe that vulnerability should be seen as a superpower and not a weakness. I hope you enjoy listening to this and that it inspires you to reach out and share. Let's get the conversation going. Hello everyone and welcome back to the Vulnerability Project. You'll be very upset to hear that it's just me today. I've got no exciting guests joining me. That doesn't mean that there aren't any coming, because there's a few really, really awesome ones in the pipeline. But for the moment, you're just going to have to deal with my ramblings. Partly because I really want to speak about what I'm about to speak about by myself. And I think it's something that I want to speak about early on in the podcast, because it was such a pivotal moment in my life. I mean, you can tell by the topic what this is all about. But it was such a pivotal moment in my life that changed everything. And I don't believe that I'd be sitting here recording this podcast if what happened didn't happen. So before I get into it, I just want to thank everybody that's listened and downloaded the three prior episodes so far. It really, really means so much to me that even one person has listened to an episode. So thank you so much. And the feedback that I have got so far has been really positive. And the guests that I've had on have been incredible. So I want to thank them as well, Kieran and Tony. And I'm really enjoying this whole process. And I really look forward to carrying on with the Vulnerability Project and seeing where we go with it. But anyway, before I ramble on, let's get into the topic. Today I'm going to speak about something that is incredibly painful for me. It's a very tender topic that I have ummed and ahed about speaking about here, but I really don't see how I can't, as it's really the root of and the turning point in my life that has led me to where I am right now, sitting here speaking about mental health on a public platform. You already know from the title that I'm going to be talking about grief and what grief and losing my mother to cancer about 2.5 years ago, how it impacted my life and how it pushed me in a different direction altogether to what I ever thought my life would turn out to be. Some of you may be wondering why on earth I want to talk about something that is so personal to me, or why I feel the need or responsibility to do so when it is something that is so close to my heart. And I had this exact thought myself, but at the end of the day, this is the Vulnerability Project, and this is an event that, you know, kind of really put a spin on my life and was a pivotal change in direction for me. It's not something I feel ashamed about, obviously, so why should I hide it? My mom was, without a doubt, the most important person to me, so if this episode is anything, it's an honor to her. My mom lost her battle to cancer at the end of 2017 after over a year and a half of treatment with a so-called remission interlude in between. We thought she'd won, but it came back with a vengeance. I was living in London at the time and I took the next flight home to be with her and to support her. Never did the thought cross my mind or my family's mind that the cancer would win. If there's one word to describe my mom, it's strong. But eventually, she just couldn't do it anymore. seeing her deteriorate to, you know, someone that had to be looked after, I definitely don't want to go into any details about that, but seeing such a strong, powerful, resilient woman become someone that had to be taken care of was the most heartbreaking experience that any son could go through with his mother. And that in itself is a really traumatic thing to experience. And when I look back to that period of time, it was like a switch had turned on that opened the floodgates of all my mental health problems. Not only was I in deep grief, I was also riddled with intense anxiety, a relentless eating disorder that saw this as an opportunity to ramp itself up into full gear. I don't want to go into, you know, any specifics about that, and because that's not what this episode is about. But in a nutshell, things went very south very fast. Something you need to understand is that my mom was kind of the glue that held our family together. She was the rock. She was a real mother, if that makes any sense. So losing her is kind of like everything in my life, everything that I'd known, had totally exploded, and I had no control over that. Grief changes you in ways that you can never ever prepare for. Losing my mother, who was also, like I said, my rock, at the age of 25, propelled me into adulthood without a safety net to fall back onto, without a home to go back to. It's painful, it's scary, it's confusing, and I suddenly felt very different to all my peers, like I was an outsider living in a world that no one understood. Like everyone else's lives just carried on and mine had come to a devastating standstill. I moved to the UK very shortly after my mom passed away because I just couldn't deal with the memories. I couldn't deal with the aftermath that comes with losing someone. And I just wanted to get away. In hindsight, that was a mistake, you know, but I can't look back. It is what it is. And there's no point in regretting it. But I didn't have my friends or my family to support me through such a tough period of time, which definitely made the experience harder. There's no doubting that. But along the way, I've met some incredible people that have, you know, dealt with grief and that have lost loved ones. And it's been a really painful but eye-opening experience. And I'd like to paraphrase something that was said to me recently by a friend of mine who volunteered at Cruise, the bereavement charity, that I'll link in the show notes, because it's a phenomenal organization that anyone going through any sort of bereavement should get in touch with. Anyway, so this friend of mine volunteered there and worked very closely with young people, young adults who had lost their parents. And she dealt with men specifically. So this is what she'd said. I think most things come back to isolation. Many males find it hard to talk about emotions and don't have anyone they can speak to, so they tend to bottle it up, which exasperates the isolation. There's a lack of support networks. Young people in general struggle with grief because the support networks aren't there, and most of them don't have friends who have experienced death, so they'll feel isolated. Grief changes your world, so while your friends are out there living their lives, you are trapped in this strange world of your own. Which really sums up what I had said prior to that. And to just give an example of that, my best friend, in fact, Daniel, he'd invited me to a party at his girlfriend's house, which was just down the road from where I lived, so I'd said no way too many times to going out, and really I didn't want to go out, but I thought I'd just give it a try. And I remember driving up and stopping at the beach, because I live very close to the beach, stopping at the beach and just staring out into the ocean, crying, wailing, almost shouting at the sky for some kind of a sign from my mom. And after that, I went to the party, and I was terrible at hiding the fact that I was not in a good way. And I ended up spending most of the night, in fact, if not the whole night that I was there, sitting on the balcony, just really not interested, just didn't feel right being there. And that, I'll never forget that, because that really showed me how much of an outsider I'd felt, and it highlighted how much my life had changed. To add another layer to this, men aren't brought up to express themselves in general. That's generalization, because I know some people are. I was. But in general, in society, we are brought up to not really express ourselves. So because of that, it's not natural. And so when something as traumatic as this happens, we often don't have the vocabulary to open up. It's a vicious cycle. I was young when I lost my mom, but I was still an adult, and losing a parent as an adult feels like being caught in the rain without an umbrella. Because life goes on, bills need to be paid, errands need to be run, and jobs need to resume. If we just stop for too long, we won't survive. It almost feels like to me that the world, especially as an adult, isn't designed for us to grieve. It's almost as if we're expected as adults to be more equipped to deal with it. Something I cannot wrap my head around is the fact that it's almost a corporate standard that people are given 3 days grievance leave when they lose a loved one. 3 days is nothing. 3 days feels like 3 seconds when you're going through something like this. 3 days is absolutely nothing. And I really hope we can do something to change that in the future, because that is just awful. Anyway, I digress. Something else that happened to me during this time was, so after I'd moved back to the UK, I found myself starting to be really busy, and I started achieving a lot of things. I started doing lots of things. A lot of things in a very short amount of time. It was almost like I was living on fast forward, trying to be as efficient as possible. I started a blog. I got a writing diploma. I got a qualification in teaching. I was speeding through books, learning new recipes. It was almost manic, frantic. And I didn't really know what was going on. You know, I just thought it was, and it could still be, could have been coping mechanisms to distract myself. But I read a book shortly after this period that really summed up the whole reason why I believe now I was doing this. Because when you lose the one constant in your life, a parent, you know, when you're young, when you're growing up, you know your parents are going to pass away someday, but you never actually imagine it happening. They're just kind of always there and are always going to be there. So when they're not there, you're crudely reminded that life is finite, that it ends, that we do all eventually die. And there were so many things that my mom wanted to achieve in her life that she didn't. And I developed a real fear that this was going to be me as well, that my life would zoom past and I would end up regretting all the things that I never did, like my mom did. But while I was kind of hustling my way through task after task after task, I wasn't stopping to appreciate any of it. I didn't value any of it. And I didn't allow myself to feel proud or grateful for any of it. Some of that could link to my low self-esteem, but that's another topic altogether. And I think that this was all driven by fear. Very little of it, really, looking back, was driven by genuine interest or passion. I was speeding through so many things because I wanted to do as much as I could while I still could. But none of it mattered. None of it brought me joy, so what was the point of doing it anyway? I've got no doubt that there are plenty of layers to grief that I'm yet to discover. and that scares the hell out of me. But at the same time, and I do want to end this on a hopeful note, that at the same time, I strangely look forward to learning and growing past this point in grief and all the points that are to come. And I say this because obviously I would take back losing my mom in the click of a finger, but I say this because I've discovered more about myself in the last 2 years than I ever could have imagined. And I guess death does do that to you. It bestows, in the most brutal of ways, a deeper level of consciousness, and it brings to life what really matters in this world, which in my case is people. You know, life gets busy with work and responsibilities and stuff, but at the end of the day, we are social beings and we feed off of other people and we get joy and happiness from human connection. And with all that pain, with all the rock bottoms, there were many of them that I hit and will probably still hit, with all of that comes a lot of wisdom, a lot of pain and confusion as well, but a lot of depth, a lot of substance. And I don't know if my mom hadn't passed away, if I would have had all of the, for lack of a better term, awakenings that I've had in the last 2.5 years. And I'm incredibly grateful for those awakenings, because it's like the veil had been lifted off of my life and had forced me into dealing with and bringing to the surface a lot of things that I needed to deal with and bring to the surface, because I was dealing with the ultimate trauma. And with that came all the other baggage from my life. And it gave me no option really but to seek help for all of those, to seek, you know, therapy and counseling and loads of things. And I am so grateful for that. I am so, so grateful for that. And I don't mean for this episode to be an advice kind of giving, because grief is very different to everybody. And I am no professional whatsoever, and I do not claim to be. But I want, if you are going through grief, or when the time comes that you do, I want you to seek help. I do not want you to go through it alone, because I did go through it alone. Because I left my dad and my brother and my friends and the counselor that I was seeing back in Cape Town at the most vulnerable time in my life, and moved to the UK, and when nobody knew me particularly well, you know, besides the few good friends that I do have in the UK, but I wasn't living with them. Nobody in my direct surrounding knew what I was going through, and none of them knew me either. None of them knew the relationship I had with my mom. And because of that, it was an incredibly, incredibly isolating, torturous experience. But when I started to open up, and I told my boss at the time about losing my mom, and I told her everything, and I really broke down to her, and when I did that, the amount of love and support that I got from her was life-changing. I'd said this to her, that it's like my mom had put her in my life to help me through that period that I was going through. So to sum that up, please seek help. Please do not suffer alone in silence, because it's not worth it. And I really hope that if you are going through something like this, that you can find it in you to seek professional help or the help of your family and friends, because I don't believe anybody can go through grief alone. And I'm going to end it there. Sorry, this wasn't a very well-planned episode. It wasn't meant to be. It was meant to be just a short discussion about something really important to me. So I hope that anybody listening to this who can relate, I hope that it brought you some kind of resolution or brought you some kind of motivation to do something. And I will put all the important links below in the show description of places you can go to reach out for help. Anyway, until next time, guys, keep on sharing. Thank you.